Good morning. If you would take a moment, we're going to pray. If you pray for me, and I've invited Sandy to join me this morning, she's going to be partnering with me in the study of Psalm 27 to communicate the words that I cannot express. So let's pray, but we'd ask that you'd pray for us as we communicate God's word this morning. Let's bow our heads. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the communication of my heart be acceptable to you this morning. Amen. This morning, I must share with you a story before we begin. Friday before last, I went to the Northwest Library to pick up some commentaries for research. I've been doing a lot of that lately because I'm getting ready to write my dissertation. And I ran in and grabbed a huge pile of books that I needed and checked out in record time. And I was proud of all that I had accomplished that morning. And I walked out of the library. Now, these are a pretty big stack of books, and all the books didn't fit in my bag. And it was just a short walk to the car, so I thought, no problem, I've got this. And I put most of the books in my bag, and I bounced another few in my arms. And I also had put my cell phone on the top of my bag. Well, I have to tell you, as I walked out of there, it's a steep path down to the car, rather steep. And as I did that, I went to shuffle the books because I realized they weren't balancing well in my hand. And before I knew it, the books were there and my cell phone was on top. And my cell phone, in a calamity, slid right out of the top of my bag and onto the ground. And even more than that, I couldn't stop walking in time, but my foot put contact with that cell phone like a banana peel. And all of a sudden, I found myself on the ground, totally on the ground, on my back. And I would like to say that I was very dignified in this fall, but I wasn't. And of course, I looked around like I am very embarrassed, looking to see who was watching. Of course, to my chagrin, there was two young men who ran from across the campus to try to help me. And I wish they weren't there, but they said, "Ma'am, can we help you?" And I said, "I'm okay, but I think my phone is done." I looked down at my phone, and it had major gashes in the hard cover of it. And I looked open, and my phone was completely crushed and smashed to smithereens. Well, that phone, in that reaction, first I thought I just wanted to get out of there and get to my car. Nobody's seeing that. But after I got to my van, I realized there was a lot of consequences from that fall besides just a crushed phone. I realized that I couldn't communicate with anyone. And I realized even more than that how much my phone meant to me. Maybe some of you never use your phone, but I realized in about 30 minutes that phone was also my dictionary, my computer, my calendar, my alarm clock, a shopping list, a navigator, and I can tell you a whole bunch of other things it was. I even use it for my research. So this past week, I just feel like I've been living in the dark without my phone. So I finally got a new one thanks to my husband, and it's here. But that fall taught me a lot as I went into the study of Psalm 27. Before this fall, I wouldn't have had a clue, but as I've been studying Psalm 27, my story of calamity made me realize that so much of our life has unexpected twists and turns. Sometimes, like this fall, nothing I could have done could have prepared me for it. I'm telling you, I could not have repeated that fall if I had tried. And yet there I sat on the pavement picking up all the pieces of what only a couple seconds of living made happen. Many of our life events are joyful and wonderful, but sometimes events hit us straight between the eyes before we have any time to react or plan for or do the right thing. And we realize we are totally not in control. Take a moment to think back in your life. Has everything gone according to your plans? Would you say it's been completely a smooth ride? Psalm 27 is spoken by a more mature David who has lived a lot of his life, and he knows about life's ups and downs, the moments that take us by surprise, the moments that knock the air out of our lungs or choke us with fear or give us joy. And all these moments, they're good and they're bad in our life. But you see, I'm a worship leader, if you haven't noticed, and I like music. And I like songs, and I study worship. But I'm always concerned how we use the word worship. So often we refer to the word worship as if we were referring to things that happen between 10 and 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. We forget that our whole life and all that we are is worship to God. In Romans 12, 1 through 2, Paul instructs people to give their whole selves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. According to Paul, God demands that we give all of ourselves, every moment, every second, and every breath to spiritual worship. Now, David, probably over all other examples in the Bible, is a person described as a man after God's own heart. And he demonstrated repeatedly what Paul meant by spiritual worship in the Psalms. David desired to worship God all the time. In Psalm 71:8, David says, "My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long." David did not describe a worship that was only singing and playing his harp in the tabernacle of his God. Rather, David demonstrated repeatedly through the Psalms how he desired to live a life of worship. And through our studies of the Psalms, we can know how to live each day, moment, and second in worship to God. Now, I can't remember when I first memorized Psalm 27, but what I can remember is all the times that I have returned to Psalm 27, and it's been many. Psalm 27, for me, has kind of become like a life chapter, or what I call a life theme. It's become what I call part of my life song. Mark Hall of the award-winning Christian music group Casting Crowns, he wrote these lyrics to a song called Life Song. It says, "Let my life song sing to you. I want to sign your name to the end of every day, knowing that my heart was true. Let my life song sing to you." Now, Hall, when asked why he wrote the song, responded, "Colossians 3 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all for the glory of the Lord. So everything I do is to bring a smile to his face." Hall continues saying, "Your song started when you woke up this morning. Today is your song and everything that you're doing." In other words, when we worship God with every moment of life we've been given, today I ask, how are you doing at singing your own life song? I would like to share with you how Psalm 27 has actually enabled me to sing my life song in worship to God. I remember being only 5 when my dad and my 12-year-old sister and I went swimming in the sweltering summer heat in the Chickamauga Dam Lake near Chattanooga, Tennessee. It was a beautiful, sunny summer day, and the lake was full of people trying to stay cool by swimming and having fun. My dad, he's an excellent swimmer, and so is my sister. But at the time, I could not swim very well. So my dad gave me one of those plastic swimming rings. You know what I'm talking about, those little plastic rings that the little kids use. I was so happy to have the swimming donut so I could swim in the deeper water. We were having a great time until suddenly I slipped right through inside of this plastic ring into this deep water. I still remember the panic I felt waiting for what seemed like hours as I struggled and I thrashed and panicked in that water. My dad was playing with my sister and hadn't noticed at first. I still remember the brown hue and the bubbles around me and my nostrils just burning from water going up my nose and the panic as my arms and legs were thrashing and falling. After what seemed like an eternity, suddenly I felt the strong, stable hand of my father yank me out of that water. You know, it took a long time for me to swim after that. Every time I'd get in that water, I would flash back to that moment of terror and that lack of control and that moment when I nearly drowned. Later, my dad said he did not know even why he looked back, but he did, and he didn't know what would have happened if he hadn't looked back in that moment. When I think back through life, I think many times we're presented with unexpected highs and lows, and sometimes we're just enjoying floating around in their little plastic donuts or life preservers, and then something sucks us under and panic rushes in, and we find ourselves just utterly lacking wisdom or skill to know how to proceed. We realize that we're completely dependent on our Father to pick us up and keep us on level ground. And as we find ourselves not even treading water, but plunging to despair and despondency, we need a lifeline. Or a theme, as you will, because I'm a musician, to carry us, pull us, drag us, or yank us through. And for me, this theme has always been the words of Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In fact, these words have carried me through all kinds of different times. I remember trying to discern what I should major in college my senior year of high school. Believe it or not, I entered college as a pre-med major. I loved music, but I also loved science. And my teachers had very high hopes for me, but part of me loved music too. And it was a huge struggle. During my uncertainty, I would hear the words of Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" I remember lying in an ambulance in Chicago with one of the worship leaders from one of my bands holding my hand as we rushed to the hospital. You see, at the time I was 6 months pregnant with my first child, very sick, and they couldn't find a heartbeat on my child. I remember the panic in my throat and these words taking on new meaning in my soul that day. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? My panic at that moment prevented me from praying myself, but these words from David's psalm prayed for me as I waited and waited until an hour later they found the heartbeat who is now Bjorn, my son. I remember the day before I had a scheduled C-section for my second child, my daughter-to-be Promise Rose, and my husband came home in the middle of the day in shock. He explained how they came in that day and told everyone to go home at work. There'd be no more work for that airbase. Totally a shock for us. A new baby on the way tomorrow and no job. What now, God? With tears in my eyes, my spirit spoke these words to my soul. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And a couple weeks later, as Ben left to work on the opposite coast in a place called Everett, Washington, while I was out in Maryland, I stayed with a newborn baby and a two-year-old in a place where I hardly knew anyone, and I continued to hear those words, "The Lord is my light. Whom shall I fear?" 3 years ago, our family packed everything we had and traveled to the beautiful, wild, untamed land of Seattle, Washington. And I remember having serious doubts, panicking, and sad because we were going to say goodbye to all our dear friends and family of Wisconsin. It wasn't an easy move. And on our first day at school in a new place, I remember seeing one of those beautiful double rainbows that only you can see here in the Pacific Northwest. And hearing again the quiet words of Psalm 27:1 saying, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" As you can tell, Psalm 27:1 has become a theme for my life song of worship. God, the master composer, uses words of scripture to write themes on our heart that carry our life song. I'd like to share with you why Psalm 27:1 has resonated a lot with me through my life. In this verse, David calls the Lord his light. Throughout the Bible, themes of light in Scripture, whether it be creation or the pillar of fire by night for Israelites, have always signified God's presence. The psalmist also declares that God is his strength. I first noticed the word strong because my name, Valerie, actually means strong. As I've lived into this verse, though, and studied it, I've realized it wasn't about me being strong at all, but about God being strong. Remaining in God as my stronghold makes me strong through the Lord. I think it's interesting throughout the psalm that David, who is a man of war, focuses not on attacking his enemies or retreating from his enemies, but rather remaining in the presence of Jehovah, his strength. So for me, this theme I've carried through with Psalm 27:1 was to remind me to be strong by abiding in God's presence. I think, just like a great song, God knows that our life song is much more rich and enjoyable with lots of different experiences. In music, of course, we call this variations on the theme. In music, variation is that formal technique where material is repeated in an altered form. The changes may involve melody, rhythm, harmony, counterpoint, timbre, orchestration, any of these things. I think when we live out our life song of worship, our theme develops like this, and we learn to live our life song out in the variations of life that God gives us. Maybe it's going to school. Maybe it's marriage, having a new child, moving to a new place, a new job, friendships. That song that we started out with is still there, but it takes on lots of twists and new turns. I think back through my life and how Psalm 27 moved with me through all those different variations of life. And God's word was constant, but I grew and moved through life. This passage of Scripture also moved with me, and it took on new heights and depths that I had not understood before. In each new situation, God's song in me developed to a different, deeper level, and I'm thankful that God's word transforms and conforms to each of life's variations. When you look at the form of Psalm 27, verse 1 is the theme, but it breaks off into a time of trust, but then to a time of prayer, and then back to a time of lament, and then back to a time of trust, and finally back to a time of hope and resolution. I hope you got that all down, right? All those things. Many of the Bible scholars think that Psalm 27 might even be two psalms because of all of this back and forth. But most of the experts think, when they put it all together, that it actually has unity. And I believe them, because I think that's like life. Don't you agree? We would love for our life composition to flow in one sweet melody. But often life produces disjointedness and rough turns in the road, and places we wish we could forget, and some experiences leaving us wondering what our life theme could even be. We ask ourselves how this life event could possibly complement our life song of worship. The time that you find out someone close to you has cancer, or when the world felt like it was crashing in on you and you couldn't breathe. Maybe even right now. Perhaps you feel you're in the dark about something, or there's frustration in your job. Perhaps you're hurt by a friend. All these life uncertainties make for a path of tension that makes this life's theme hard to remember or to hear. And perhaps this is what David felt in verse 2 when he describes his enemies wanting to just devour his flesh or when he describes his fear during war. In between times of trust and despair, the author of the psalm could look back, and he does look back, to God's presence as his reminder that God was truly his light, his refuge, and his strength. And yet David, as any good musician, feels all the emotions of life. He felt the tensions of life with his whole being. David's trust in God experienced, just as we do, times of isolation and fear. I am sure that his life song, just like us, experienced tension. Should we run to God in times of tension, or should we remain in him? That's my question this morning. In this passage, God's presence is likened to a fortress or refuge. David, being a military man, I'm sure he noted the difference between offense and defense. What is interesting is that he implied that abiding in God's tent was both an offensive and a defensive strategy. Abiding in God's presence keeps us secure in God. David says, "Let the evil people that want to eat up my flesh come against me, because it doesn't matter." And later he notes that even in times of uncertainty, or even when others abandon him, he does not need to move because God's presence is rock solid, a stronghold that won't move. I think so many times, personally, I think I need to get going. My type A personality, it wants to get it done. So when stress or calamity hits, I feel like I need to run to God and get his help. And this psalm reminds me that I don't need to run to God. God's already here, and he's stable through all instability. He is constant through every storm, and he is the rock that cannot be moved. Dictionary.com defines harmony as the simultaneous combination of tones, especially when blended into chords pleasing to the ear. Leonardo da Vinci once said, "Do you know that our soul is composed of harmony?" Harmony is music, is the mutual interaction between two vibrating tones. In verse 7, David's psalm turns to more of a plea for help, almost like a lament, like Pastor Neil talked about before. He says, "Oh Lord, hear the sound of my voice when I cry. Be gracious to me and answer me. To you my heart said, seek my face. Your face, O Lord, I do seek." One commentator notes that it is possible to trust and cry out to God all at the same time. When we think of that small child who trusts his or her mother completely, and cries out for her to come to the rescue, these are not two separate things. They are together, and that's what's happening in the psalm. There is a mutual relationship or an exchange between God and us when we cry out and he responds. One commentator says of verse 8, "The psalmist is pleading for a mutual seeking. The psalmist longs for God to seek the psalmist's face. At the very same time, the psalmist earnestly and passionately seeks God and the restoration that only God can provide." This is a beautiful picture of the relationship that we have with God, where we seek each other mutually in relationship. So we realize in living out our life song of worship that God's relationship with us provides the harmony to our life song. No matter what tension or fear or strife may assail us, God's delightful interaction with us through his living word provides a life song in harmony. God, our strength and our stronghold remains with us, as it says in verse 10. And even if our parents were to abandon us, he is more faithful and true than anything that we have in this world. And that's why we must remain in him. John 15 says, "Abide in me as I abide in you." Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me, and I in them, bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. As this passage states, we abide in the Lord by abiding in his word. The word of God is the source for our life song that we sing with God. We cannot abide in him without abiding in his word. And when you look at David and other people who have found their life song, you see people who are in love with passages from the word of God, many of them being Psalms. Martin Luther spoke this way about his favorite Psalm 118. "This is my own beloved psalm. Although the entire Psalter and all of Holy Scripture are dear to me as my only comfort and source of life, I fell in love with this psalm especially. Therefore, I call it my own. When emperors and kings, the wise and the learned, and even the saints could not aid me, this psalm proved a friend and helped me out of great troubles. As a result, it is dearer to me than all wealth, honor, and power of the Pope, the Turk, and the Emperor. I'd be most unwilling to trade this psalm for all of it." How do we abide in God's word? As a child, I memorized so much scripture in the church where I grew up and on through school and college, and I'm thankful for that scripture. And some of those passages have stayed with me, but most of them I could not quote to you right now. Mainly, the passages that have stayed with me are passages that I've learned to abide in. And as I learn to abide in God's word and dwell in his presence, I experience that mutual seeking that David talked about. Back and forth and back and forth, scripture passages like Psalm 27:1 have returned to me and continue to abide and dwell and to learn to sing, for me to sing my life song. As we've discussed, all great musical compositions usually have a theme, variation, tension, and harmony. But most great songs also find resolution. Our life song finds resolution daily in God's word. This is why we must make it a part of our heart and our mind and soul. In Deuteronomy 6, God instructs the people in the worship of God, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind and soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be in your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk on the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them in symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates." In order for us to find resolution in our life song, we must carry God's word and integrate it into our heart, mind, and soul. We must let God's word continually resonate and dwell in us. So today, I must ask, are we in the practice of dwelling in the word of God? Are we in the practice of letting scripture of the living God dwell in us? This might sound complicated to some, or maybe even unnecessary to others. Perhaps you feel you're just too busy to have time. Perhaps the old idea of it seems overwhelming. I've been in all those places. But I placed for you a challenge in the bulletin this week, a way to simply resume into carrying the art of scripture meditation in your daily walk with God. I encourage you to seek the Lord, and he will mutually seek you, just as David said, and your life song of worship will flow, centered in those themes from his living word. In conclusion, like most great music ends with resolution, David in Psalm 27 with a resolution of hope. These final words result from God's word living in and through and around David. And David concludes saying, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." I used to think of the word wait as a passive word or a powerless word. As you know, right now, we live on Whidbey Island. And for some reason lately, that ferry has been very messed up. And we have spent extra hours this summer waiting and waiting in line. And I can tell you, when I wait in that line, I feel very powerless to do anything. I know that you have experienced times of waiting and you've felt a complete lack of control. When we think of waiting in that way, we think of ourselves as being very passive, waiting for the moment that we can reusurp our control back into our lives. But on the contrary here, David describes a kind of waiting grounded in courage and strength. Further, he says, God's going to strengthen our heart. This kind of waiting requires faith to know that God will act by abiding and remaining fixed, claiming the word of God in our heart and soul. Knowing that God is presently working in our life, our life song will fully praise our God. As Sandy plays now, let us pray to God and seek him as the source of our life song.